Our study this morning grows out of our Bible classes on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights from the book of Acts. I've noticed in our study several common threads that have been woven, and I'd like to pick up on one of those in our study together this morning. In Acts chapter 2, where we read of the gospel being preached for the first time among all nations at Jerusalem, verse 41 records that those who gladly received the word were baptized. In Acts chapter 8, as the gospel spreads to Samaria, verses 12 and 13 record, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized. And in Acts chapter 9, we read in verse 18, in connection with Saul, that he arose and was baptized. Did you notice the common thread or the common occurrence in each of these cases? Folks hearing believed and were baptized. What I'd like for us to do in our study this morning is to ask the question, why do I need to be baptized? And as we ask this question, we want to think from a couple of different standpoints. One is to help those of us who have not yet been baptized realize that we stand in need of being baptized, and also from the standpoint of those of us who have been baptized to hopefully collect information that will be helpful to us as we study with individuals to help them realize that they have need of being baptized. But if I've not been baptized, or I'm trying to help someone recognize that they have a need of being baptized, why is it that I need to be baptized? Let me suggest to you some simple answers to that from the pages of the Bible, the Word of God. One reason I suggest to you that if I've not been baptized, that I need to be, is because Jesus was baptized. You remember Matthew chapter 3, as we read where in verse 13, Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Jesus, who did no sin, was baptized. Why? To fulfill all righteousness. We have his baptism recorded in verse 16, as the record says, And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, Jesus, who did no sin, was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. Then how can I, an individual who has committed sin, who has done sin, fulfill what's right or do what's right without being baptized? And so, why do I need to be baptized? One reason I need to be baptized is because Jesus was baptized. But another reason why I need to be baptized is because Jesus said that I need to be baptized. In the book of Matthew in chapter 28, beginning in verse 18, we find where Jesus has gathered his apostles in a mountain in Galilee and is giving to them what we commonly refer to as the Great Commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to the creature. Jesus says unto them, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And notice what Jesus, the possessor of all power, all authority in heaven and in earth, now says. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. What's the next two words? Baptizing them. Baptizing who? Those who have been taught out of every nation or all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And so, I need to be baptized. Why? Because Jesus said that I need to be baptized. But then there's a third reason why I need to be baptized, and that is I need to be baptized in order to be saved. In Mark's account of this story in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. The Lord said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And then he said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall what? Be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned." And so if I want to be saved, then according to the teaching of my Lord, I need to believe and be baptized. Why do I need to be baptized, Lord, to be saved? In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, Peter said, "The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us." And so why do I need to be baptized in order to be saved? But let's take our study a step further. As we think about this question, why do I need to be baptized? If I've not been baptized, I need to be for the remission of my sins. Now, it needs to be pointed out to me somewhere along the way, if it hasn't already, that there's sin in my life, that I'm a sinner, and the consequences of sin. The Bible teaches in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If all have sinned, that means you sin. That means I've sinned. We're in the same boat. There's no difference between us from that standpoint. Well, what is sin? How do we become guilty of sin? Is that something that we're born with? Is it something that we inherit from our fathers that's passed down from one generation to the next? A lot of people have been made to think that, but the Bible does not teach that. In fact, in the book of Ezekiel in chapter 18 and verse 20, the prophet said, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father." And so sin is not inherited. It's not passed down from one generation to the next. Well, if that's the case, then how do I become guilty of sin? Sin is defined in the Word of God in the book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4 as transgression of law. John said that whosoever sins transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And so whenever I transgress God's law, and I can do that one of two ways, either by going beyond what God says or falling short of what God says, either doing something that God says not to do or failing to do what God tells me to do. And one's just as bad as the other. Anytime I go against what God said in His Word, I've transgressed His law, I've sinned. But sin's also defined in 1 John 5 and verse 17 as unrighteousness. John said, "All unrighteousness is sin." We have some specific cases of unrighteousness listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 9, when Paul said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And so to commit fornication, or idolatry, or adultery, or homosexuality, or stealing, or covetousness, or drinking, these things constitute unrighteousness. And John said, all unrighteousness is what? Sin. And so that's how we become sinners, by transgressing God's law, by committing acts of unrighteousness. And there's a high price to be paid for sin. Remember the statement of Paul to the Romans in chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is what? Is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." The death in that passage is an eternal death. And the word death in the Bible means a separation from something. Just like physical death is the separation of the spirit from the body. James shows us that in James 2 and verse 26. But spiritual death, eternal death, is the separation of my spirit from God throughout all eternity. I don't want that death. I don't want to face that death. We don't want anybody to face that death. And so in order to escape that eternal death, we've got to have the remission of our sins. How do we reach that? How do we obtain that? In Acts chapter 2 and in verse 38, remember the time when repentance and remission of sins were first preached among all nations at Jerusalem? Peter powerfully proclaimed concerning Jesus, "Ye have taken and with wicked hands have crucified and slain." and that this Jesus, whom they had crucified, God raised up, and he was exalted at the right hand of God and received of the Spirit the promise. And they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And they were told in verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." Now, we might ask the question, and there may have been those who were thinking at that point, why do I need to be baptized? What's the next statement in that verse? Why be baptized? For the remission of sins. That word remission simply means the pardon or the forgiveness of. It's the concept of my sins being let go as if they had never been committed. Can you imagine that? To think that your sins could be let go from you, that they can be pardoned, they can be forgiven, as if they had never been committed. Well, how do I obtain that? He said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Now, sometimes there are those who will come along and say, you need to be baptized because you've already received the remission of your sins, not in order to receive the remission of sins. Well, notice that this is the same language that Jesus used in Matthew 26 and verse 28 in instituting the Lord's Supper. When he took the cup and said, drink ye all of it, for this what? This cup, this fruit of the vine, is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for many. Lord, why'd you shed your blood? For the remission of sins. Now, let me ask you a question. Did Jesus shed his blood because men already had the remission of their sins? No. He shed his blood that men might receive the remission of their sins. And that's why I need to be baptized, that I might receive the remission of my sins, from Acts 2 and in verse 38. But may I suggest to you another reason why I need to be baptized if I haven't been? And that is because it is a command. In Acts chapter 10, we read of the conversion of the Gentile Cornelius. And notice this statement, beginning in verse 47, when Peter said, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Verse 48, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Isn't that what we find in Acts 2 and verse 38, a command to be baptized? When they said, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized. He commanded them to be baptized for the remission of their sins. We read in Revelation 22 and in verse 17 that whosoever will is invited to obey the Lord's commands. And how that in verse 14, blessed are they that what? Do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Can I expect to enter in heaven's gates if I don't obey the commands the Lord has issued for me? And one of those commands is to be baptized. That's why I need to be baptized. But then there's another reason why I need to be baptized. And that is, I need to be baptized to wash away my sins. In Acts chapter 9, we read of Saul, who was traveling to Damascus, going there to persecute Christians. He had received letters of authority from chief priests, giving him permission to do that. But on his way, he's supernaturally blinded by light from heaven. He falls to the earth. He hears a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, I want you to observe that the Lord didn't tell him what to do to be saved there. He told him where to go to find out what to do. And whatever he was told to do was a must. You might like to circle that word in your Bible. He didn't say, and it should be told thee what thou mightest do, but what thou must do. That's a strong word, isn't it? That's the strongest word in our language. It's not something that's optional. Just take it or leave it. It's an imperative. It has to be done. Well, what was he told to do? Acts 22 holds the answer to that in verse 16. when he meets up with a certain disciple by the name of Ananias. And Ananias said, "Saul, and now why tarriest thou?" That is, what are you waiting for? "Arise and be baptized." Now, he might have thought, as some of us might be thinking, "Why do I need to be baptized, Ananias?" What'd he say? "And wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." You see, baptism stands between a man that has sins and the washing away of those sins. Why do I need to be baptized? To have my sins washed away. And what a blessed privilege it is to think that God has made it possible for me and for you to have our sins washed away. But that's not all. As you think about this important question, why do I need to be baptized? Let me suggest to you that there's some other reasons why I need to be baptized. That is, I need to be baptized in order to reach something. I need to be able to reach the death of Christ. Turn with me at this time, if you would, to the book of Romans, in chapter 6, beginning in verse 3. The apostle said, "Know ye that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized in what? His death." Now, what's so important about being baptized in death? That's where he shed his blood. According to John 19, 33 and 34, Jesus shed his blood in his death. You remember that scene, perhaps, that when they came to Jesus and they saw that he was already dead, they didn't break his legs like they did the thieves on either side of him. But one of the soldiers took a spear, and with that spear he pierced his side, and there came out blood and water. So where did Jesus shed his blood? In his death. Why did he shed his blood? For the remission of sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Matthew 26, 28. But also, that blood not only has sin-remitting power, it has redeeming power. Ephesians 1, 7. Paul, speaking of Christ, said, "In whom we have redemption through what? His blood." If I want to have redemption, the forgiveness of my sins, I've got to come into contact with his blood, don't I? It has sin-washing power. Remember, Ananias told Saul, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord," Acts 22, 16. 1 John 1, 9 talks about his blood cleansing us from all sin. In Revelation 1, and in verse 3, John said, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." And so the blood of Christ has sin remitting, sin cleansing, sin washing power, and redeeming power. But I've got to come into contact with it. How do I contact that blood that remits my sins, that forgives my sins, washes those sins away by reaching his death where that blood was shed? Well, how do I do that? Look at the text, Romans 6 and 3. Paul said, baptized into what? His death. And so the way that I reach the death and come into contact with the blood is by being baptized. That shows a need for me to be baptized, doesn't it? Why do I need to be baptized? That I might reach his death and thereby come into contact with his blood, and through that process have my sins remitted and be redeemed and have my sins washed away. Let me suggest to you something else from this context. I need to be baptized in order to walk in newness of life. In Romans chapter 6 again, notice verse 4. Paul says, "Therefore we are buried with him." A good passage by way to show that when we're baptized, we don't just have a little water sprinkled or poured over us. But baptism's an immersion. It's a submersion. That's what that word baptized itself means. Immersed. Buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should what? walk in newness of life. We need a new life, don't we? And God's made it possible for us to have a new life spiritually, to be able to walk in newness of life. But this that we're talking about, baptism, stands between me and newness of life. And so why do I need to be baptized? That I might walk in newness of life. But then again from Romans chapter 6, why do I need to be baptized? In order to be made free from my sins. Drop down, if you would, in Romans 6 now to verse 17. Paul said, "But God be thanked." Paul, why are you so thankful to God? That you were the servants of sin, were past tense, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free. Free from what? Sin. Ye became the servants of righteousness. He's talking about that doctrine. What's that about? Well, that goes back to verses 3 and 4 when he talks about being baptized into his death. That just as Jesus died, you and I died to sin. As he was buried in the heart of the earth, we're buried, aren't we? We're buried in the waters of baptism. And as he rose from the grave, you and I come forth out of the waters of baptism to walk in newness of life. There's a form, there's a likeness between the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ, and our dying to sin, our bearing that old man of sin, and our rising to walk in newness of life. That's called a form of doctrine. And Paul was thankful to God that the Romans, who were at one time servants of sin, were made free from sin. When did that happen? When? The Bible says, when they obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. And so when they were baptized into his death, when they died to sin, when they buried that old man of sin, when they rose to walk in newness of life, that's when they were made free from sin. And so why do I need to be baptized? I need to be baptized to be made free from sin. And then finally, number 10, why do I need to be baptized? I need to be baptized to enter something, to enter Christ and his body. Enter Christ and his body. In Galatians 3 and verse 27, Paul said, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Baptized into Christ. Well, let's just draw us a little circle here and allow this to represent Christ. Why do I need to be in this circle? What's available in Christ? Well, there are a number of things that are said to be in Christ. That's where all spiritual blessings are, for example. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." Paul, we've got a question for you. Where are these spiritual blessings? Look at those last two words. In Christ. If all blessings of a spiritual nature are in Christ, then where do I need to be today if I want to have those? I need to be in Christ, don't I? But not only that, the Bible teaches that redemption is in Christ. Romans 3 and verse 24 talks about that. Redemption, which is in Christ Jesus. The Bible also teaches that in Christ is where salvation is. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10, Paul talked about the eternal salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Furthermore, that's where the hope and promise of eternal life is. Paul talked to Timothy about the promise of life, which is in Christ. And John said, "This is the record, that God hath given unto us eternal life." Where is this? In his Son, 1 John 5 and verse 11. And so, why do I need to be baptized so I can be in Christ? For baptism puts us into Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27. And if I've not been baptized into Christ, I'm separated from all of these blessings that are spiritual in their nature. I don't have redemption. I'm not saved. I'm lost. And I don't have the hope and the promise of eternal life. And we say these things to you with love of God in our heart, that you might be able to go to bed and put your head on that pillow with the assurance that you have life beyond the grave. That whatever happens to you in this life, that as you're in Christ and you're walking in Christ and you're serving Him faithfully, that you have a building and house not made with hands eternal in the heavens. But also I need to enter His body, and that's the church. The thing that puts us into Christ, baptism, puts us into His body. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, Paul said, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized." Baptized into what? His body. And so baptism puts us into Christ and His body. And Paul identified the body as the church in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, when he talked about the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Well, what's in the body of Christ? That's where reconciliation is. We might add another thing here, reconciled, to our list of things that are in Christ and His body. For you can't be in Christ without being in His body. And you can't be in His body without being in Christ. They go together, just like the head and body go together. Christ is the head, the church is the body, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And Paul said in Ephesians 2 and verse 16, "And that He, that is God, might reconcile both Jew and Gentile, unto God," where? "In one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." Remember, salvation's in Christ. Christ is the Savior of the body. Ephesians 5 and verse 23. And in Acts 47, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Why do I need to be baptized? Here's 10 reasons why an individual needs to be baptized. Jesus was. Jesus said, "I need to be. I need to be baptized to be saved for the remission of my sins so they can be forgiven and pardoned and let go as if they've not been committed." It's a command to wash away my sins, to reach the death of Christ where He shed His blood, that I might contact that and have my sins remitted and washed away, that I might be able to walk in newness of life, that I might be made free from sin, that I might enter Christ, where all spiritual blessings are, redemption is, salvation's available, and I can have the hope and promise of eternal life, and be a part of His body, the church, that I might be among those who have been reconciled to God, who are in a peaceful relationship with the Lord through His blood. And so, may I be like those of whom we've been reading and studying about, who hearing believed and were baptized. Just like Acts 2 and verse 41, when they gladly received the word, what did they do? They were baptized. And when you and I gladly receive the word, what will we do? We'll do what they did. We'll believe and repent and make the confession that we saw made this morning in our study when the man of Ethiopia answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I'll rise and be baptized and have my sins washed away. And the Lord will add me to His church, the number of the saved, the world over, that I might walk in newness of life and serving Him faithfully. As the Lord said, 'Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life.'" Revelation 2 and then verse 10. And I suggest to you that there's no finer time to be baptized than when an individual recognizes his need to do that. We see that common thread, don't we, as well in the book of Acts, that those who were baptized when they heard the word. Just like in Acts 8 and verse 12, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. In Acts 16, even the same hour of the night, about midnight, a man was baptized when he recognized his need to be baptized. And I suggest to you that we don't know what a day will bring forth. The book of God teaches us that truth, and there are daily reminders of that, aren't there? As the wise man said, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." The fact that anything could happen to me at any time, and the Lord could come at any moment, morning, noon, or night, suggests that there's a need for me to be in a proper relationship with Him. And I want to suggest to you that all things have been made convenient for you today, that you might be baptized if you have need of obeying the gospel. There's a pool of water here. We have garments with us. And should you decide that today is the day I'd like to be baptized, I want to put the Lord on in baptism. I want to have my sins let go from me as if they've never been committed. I want to be a part of Christ's body, the church, that I might be among the saved, that I can have that peace and that assurance that all is well with my soul, that should something happen to me, come what may, I have the hope and the promise of eternal life because I'm serving God. I'm trying to go to heaven. It may be that you've wandered from the fold. You've already obeyed the gospel, and you want to come back and make your life right with the Lord through repentance and prayer. And we would invite you to return to the bishop and shepherd of your soul as together we stand and sing. Won't you come?